Look at you. Look at you, you tramp. Are you stupid or something? Are you thick? Right? Don't you realise? You watch these videos that say, oh, apparently there's a cycle of civilization and that we always go through the same cycles of civilization. And now we're in the winter of civilization. And it's all to do with intelligence, whatever that is. And how intelligence sort of goes up somehow. How's it going to do that at the end of the day? Do you know what I mean? What's like being clever? What's that got to do with genes? But anyway, goes up. And then it goes down. It's like magically starts going down. And then civilization somehow collapses. Look, what are you talking about? I ain't being funny nothing, right? If you think that, then you are at best stupid and you are at worst, like, what? Just part of the elite yourself. You're just a shill. You're just doing the elite's job for them. And maybe at best you are naive, but you know what you're talking about, right? This idea it's to do with intelligence, that's to do with like how well you do at school or your qualifications, or people can have like PhDs or whatever they can have, right? That don't mean nothing. At the end of the day, what's important, right, is thinking. Is thinking about stuff, right? And that's what I've done. I'm doing your research. Don't believe what the elites tell you in the newspapers or whatever or on the internet. Of course you don't believe what they tell you. Research it for yourself, and then you will see, as I have done, you will realise, you will understand that, as I did, that it's all to do with the elites, that the elites are behind everything, the elites are controlling everything. Everything that is happening at the moment is because of the elites. They are in charge, right? They are running this. They are destroying us so they can like live in palaces. And all we have to do is topple the elites, get rid of the elites, right? They're practically different species from us. And then that's it. There'll be no end to civilization. Then we will just go on forever. And these people that think, it can't happen like that. Oh, yeah, no, they call us. They insult us, right? They use these offensive terms. They say we're conspiracy theorists or we're stupid or whatever. And they say that the data indicates that. Data? What data? They would say that. They would say that because they're probably shills for the elites themselves. You know what I mean? Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today, I would like to talk about dysgenics. I would like to talk about the fact that people, like the person who I was just channeling there, are the future of the West. People like that are having the most children. And the result is the collapse, the complete collapse of civilization back into a much more simple form. Now, I've done a number of videos recently and I've had three key responses, each of which I would like to take on in turn. The first is that, well, we have these purple-haired woke people, and if we could just get rid of them, they're causing the decline of civilization. If we could just get rid of them, then we could create some sort of conservative paradise or something like that. That is not true. That will not happen. And the reason for that is because although they are, contributing heavily to the indomining of the West, the indomining of the West will carry on anyway and has been happening for a very long time. So that's not the case. That we can get rid of that white pill. The second is that the purple-haired people are going to move east. And they're going to destroy the East as well. That is not true, and I will look at why. And the third is that the East is somehow the Eastern Europe is somehow the future of civilization, broadly speaking. That is also not true, and I want to look at why. So, yes, for reasons I will look at in a minute, the Purple Hair Brigade make it worse. But we must understand that we are in this long process of dysgenics. Up until the Industrial Revolution, we were selecting for mental health, for physical health, for intelligence, for religiousness, for group orientation. And these were all, because they were all being selected for, as I look at it in my book, At Our Wit's End, they were bundled together into one fitness factor that was being selected for. With the Industrial Revolution, you have the rise of inoculations, you have the rise of better medicine, you have the rise of cheaper housing, you have the rise of better standards of living in numerous ways. This massively reduces mortality salience. It massively reduces death rates. And the child mortality rate gradually collapses from something like 50% in 1800 to something like 1%. The result of that is that what had traditionally been happening was that we were a society of social descent. There was a negative association between socioeconomic status and thus intelligence and how many surviving children you had. In the 17th century, the richer 50% of the population had as much as double the completed fertility of the poorer 50%. And every generation, those at the bottom would die out, and not those with the lowest IQ basically would die out and not pass on their genes, and those that were the next rung up would move down. The result of that was that gradually we got more and more intelligent until we were so intelligent that you had the breakthrough of the Industrial Revolution. And this can be traced across time in terms of interest rates, which are a marker, low interest rates are a marker of future orientation, thus intelligence getting smaller, in terms of illiteracy getting higher, even though standard of living don't change, in terms of numerous getting higher, in terms of the size of the head getting bigger, in terms of the prevalence of genes associated with very high intelligence indirectly increasing, and all of this sort of thing. So we were definitely becoming more intelligent. With the Industrial Revolution, this changes. Suddenly, living standards are increasing massively, and so the working class, the people at the bottom of society, do not die out every generation. They do not die out. They grow. They increase. So you have an increase in the population. The Darwinian conditions are weakened. And so you have an increase in the population of people with relatively low intelligence. And it has been shown that this genetically correlates with poor health, such that having low IQ correlates with genes that are associated with having strokes, with having heart attacks, and so on. And these things also correlate with poor mental health as well, and with sort of psychopathology. So you have a growth in people that have low fitness, a growth in what would become the underclass population. So you have more and more people with low IQ surviving, such that by 1900, there is no relationship between social class and how many surviving children you have. The relationship is nil. And the reason for this is because all of these people at the bottom of society, whose children would have died off, those children do not die off. Those children live and thrive and grow up and have lots of children themselves. And they have lots of children because they are highly instinctive, which is associated with low intelligence. And so they have lots of sex and they have lots of children who they don't really look after. So that's the first thing. The second thing with regard to why this expansion of low IQ occurred is that you then have the rise of these individualistic philosophies. These can be seen perhaps to be underpinned by rising mutational load in the population, which causes people to be increasingly individualistic. This causes people to question group-oriented things such as patriarchy, which promotes positive and negative ethnocentrism, which in turn promotes dominating in the battle of group selection. So we've been strongly selected for all these things. With the weakening Darwinian selection pressures, this group orientation goes, and you start to have more and more individualistic people. Those individualistic people will tend to promote the foundations of equality and of harm avoidance, because those foundations permit you as an individual to get more relative power, and therefore they start advocating, and also they can attain power, particularly if they're mentally unstable and have low self-esteem. They will covertly play for power, and they will do that by virtue signaling, and by virtue signaling their equality and their belief in harm avoidance. And so therefore you get the rise of these equalitarian kind of ideas, such as democracy, such as Marxism, and all of, such as feminism, and all of this sort of thing. Now, the result of that is that the more intelligent people are more likely to imbibe the dominant worldview, because it's been shown that's the case. More intelligent people have the effortful control to force themselves to accept the dominant worldview. This they do, and therefore more intelligent people, and particularly more intelligent women, start delaying fertility in order to pursue their careers or whatever. They spend all of their 20s and even the best first half of their 30s concentrating on their career and whatever, and the result is that they don't have many children, or they don't have any children at all. So whereas the lower IQ people of that same age group, they will start having children when they're 16, so they don't only have more children, they have more generations. So this helps to push down IQ. The next thing you have is that what this creates, this situation, is a growing evolutionary mismatch where you have women in positions of power or which they wouldn't like previously have been in under harsh Darwinian selection pressure, or where you have whatever else that is a deviation from the Darwinian norm. And so the result is more intelligent people, they're more environmentally sensitive, and so they are no longer being pushed along the adaptive roadmap of life, and so they start to feel a sense of dysphoria and depression, and so they start to not want to have children. And so this helps to make a negative relationship between how many children you have and your intelligence. The next thing is the rise in contraception. This starts in the upper classes, involves impulse control and future orientation. This is higher among more intelligent people. Less intelligent people are too impulsive to use contraception, or they don't use it efficiently. And so the result of that, again, is a correlation between low IQ and having lots of children. Then you get the rise of the welfare state. People game this to get as much money as they can, it basically encourages people with very low IQ to have lots of children, benefits them to do so. And so the result of that is that in Britain at the moment, if you divide between the families where both parents are working, IQ of 100, families where one parent is on welfare, IQ of 90, families where both parents are on welfare, IQ of 85, families where both parents are on welfare and they are criminal, that they are involved in crime and they need social worker and police interventions, then only those people have above replacement fertility. So you have this growing low IQ sector of society, and the result is a correlation of about -0.2 between how many children you have and intelligence. So we are definitely becoming less intelligent. And the evidence for this can be seen in many, many ways. Most obviously, reaction times have got longer between 1880 and the year 2000, consistent with a 15-point drop in IQ. The alleles that are associated with high intelligence are decreasing in the population across generations. Colour discrimination, which is a mark of intelligence, is getting worse. Backward digit span, the ability to remember numbers and then count them backwards, is getting worse. Every mark of intelligence is getting worse. IQ scores are falling. This was initially cloaked by the Flynn effect for reasons that have perhaps too boring to go into here, but the Flynn effect, because of the imperfect nature of the IQ test, an element of the IQ test that is highly environmentally sensitive was pushed to its phenotypic maximum, showing up as an IQ rise, even though the more G-loaded elements, the more genetically sensitive elements of IQ were falling. Eventually, this rise reached its phenotypic maximum, and then the underlying IQ fall poked through even on the IQ test. So even IQ is now going down. So we are definitely becoming more intelligent, less intelligent, and consistent with this vocabulary levels use of complex vocabulary peaked in about 1870 and then went into decline. Levels of per capita genius peaked in about 1870 and then went into decline. Everything peaked 1870, then went into decline. We have gone back in terms of our level of per capita genius to the levels that we were in about 1600. And it can't possibly be argued that, oh, well, we've already got the low-hanging fruit. That's why per capita genius is going down, because there's no such thing as low-hanging fruit. What new inventions are is that you see what's already there and you make sense of it and you come up with something new. For people that have low IQ, the wheel would be high-hanging fruit. So that's no argument. We're definitely becoming less intelligent, and it's becoming more and more difficult to come up with new and innovative things because we are becoming less intelligent. So this is dysgenics. There is dysgenics in terms of IQ. There is dysgenics in terms of health. We're literally breeding for poor health. There is dysgenics in terms of mental health. There is dysgenics. And what this is ultimately going to lead to is the collapse of civilization. The woke people have made this worse because they are creating an extreme evolutionary mismatch where you are inculcated with feeling that life is pointless and you may as well not have children and that you're bad because you're a man and that you're bad because you're European, and you're inculcated with this extreme evolutionary mismatch, this extreme sense of dysphoria. Intelligent people are more sensitive to this because intelligence is associated with being environmentally sensitive, and so therefore it wrecks their fertility to an even greater extent. And it means that the people that are resistant to wokeness are those that have a strong instinctive desire to have children because, and are genetically healthy because they're religious, or simply people that have low IQ. And people that have low IQ are more instinctive, and they're also less able to understand what the dominant worldview is. They don't have the impulse control to force themselves to believe the dominant worldview, so they're more resistant to indoctrination with a dominant maladaptive worldview, so they don't adopt it, so they continue to have lots of children. So they are resistant to all this. Now, what this is doing, therefore, is creating, what this process of wokeness is doing, is creating an angry underclass. An underclass that feel, that looks around and feels, hang on a minute, that ain't right. That ain't right. What we're being told in the schools, what we're being told about the nature of gender, or what we're being, what's happening in terms of the dynamics of their communities, they feel it's not right. They think that ain't right. That ain't right. And they have democracy, and they're entitled to vote. And the result of that is going to be, and is already, a backlash against this middle-class wokeness. It is a rise in populism, which you saw hinted at already with Donald Trump. And what I suspect is going to happen is that it will get, this will become much, much more pronounced, more populism, but also more socialism, you know, more of a feeling of resentment against the elites, no understanding of what they call them, the elites, as though they're a different species, no understanding of why it is that that these people have power, no understanding that it's intelligence that predicts socioeconomic status, and then if you drive the most intelligent people out of your society, it's like Zimbabwe, you will create an even worse collapse. And so this would be the future. The future would be collapsing, because intelligence is associated with trust, collapsing organisation, total inability to sustain things like the health service or whatever, or the social system, total collapse in all this, the election of the breaking up of polities into individual ethno-states or individual populist sort of states, the rise of socialism, the persecution of people that have high IQ, people that have high IQ fleeing from these places, these low IQ hellholes, and just a general collapse back to third world, back to basically Darwinian conditions. That is what we predict would happen. So the idea that if you get rid of the purple hair, it's all going to be all right, that is completely wrong. It isn't. The purple hair are something that's happening in late, are a decadence that is happening in late civilization, and late civilization will continue until there is a collapse in civilization due to dysgenics and the creation of the breakdown of large polities into smaller polities of very low IQ people who have populist leaders, not unlike in Idiocracy. That is the future. The second point then is the idea that the purple-haired people will go east, that they will take their gospel with them to the east. That is not true, for a number of reasons. First of all, the nature of the woke gospel, the reason why it works with Western Europeans, is that we have been in charge of the world. We have been the world's rulers. This means that we can have a sense of guilt about this, but it also means that we can have a sort of sense of naivety and of hubris about this and feel, oh, well, nothing bad's ever happened to us and nothing bad ever will happen to us. So being confronted by all of the ills of late-stage civilization, all of what's happening, we can think to ourselves, oh, well, nothing bad's ever really going to happen, is it? It'll all be all right in the end. So we can do this wonderful guilt trip of wokeness, which makes us feel better, and still continue to believe that we're extremely powerful and important and nothing bad is ever going to happen. And that's why we can continue to be overtaken by wokeness. Well, this isn't going to happen in the East. They've suffered very, very recently under the jackboot of wokeness, and they know what it's like. And so they are inured to it, and so they are rather more sceptical of it. Secondly, they don't see themselves as empowered. They see themselves as disempowered, and therefore you don't get this hubris. If they see these kinds of problems that we can't talk about on here coming, then they are going to stand up to it, and they are going to do something about it. Thirdly, there is evidence that they are more genetically ethnocentric than Western Europeans. They have a smaller number of ancestors, the Eastern Europeans, so they are more likely to be ethnocentric. Fourthly, they have less of a, you could argue, even less of a sense of of being simply European. They are of their nation, and that's what they want to defend. And most importantly, and I can't stress this enough, the woke people will not move east because they don't tend to have children. So even if they do move east, their fertility is highly limited. Those that have children are those who are of low intelligence, and they are less likely to be woke because wokeism can be regarded as an anti-instinctive ideology. It goes against all natural human evolved instincts, and people of low IQ are going to be higher in these. Because the woke simply do not have children themselves to pass it on at the genetic level to the extent that it is genetic. So I don't think we can say that wokeism is going to move east. There is some evidence in some parts of Eastern Europe that it's moving east. And the other thing is that the cognitive ability of some areas of Eastern Europe is on average lower than other areas of Eastern Europe, and so this makes it more difficult for the population to be inured with maladaptive ideas. You've got to have a certain level of IQ to be able to be inculcated with maladaptive ideas. So that's the next thing. Now, finally, it is suggested, Eastern Europe is the future. No. Eastern Europe is not the future. That is an exaggeration. I never said Eastern Europe was the future. It will be certain parts, perhaps, of Eastern Europe that will be the future. But what is happening at the moment is basically the end of migration. If you are British now and you don't have many qualifications, where can you go and work? Nowhere. Nobody wants you. You can maybe go and work in Ireland, but that's it. Nobody wants you. You are stuck now, to a greater extent than has ever been the case for a long time, in the country in which you are born. It's a vote loser to allow immigration. As this process of eugenics moves forward, there will be a strong sense of, you know, grug land for the grugs. And people who have high IQ will be driven out. And they will not take people from other countries that have high IQ. And there will be certain countries that will do that. That will be intelligent enough to take other people from other countries who are being driven out, who have high IQ, the Huguenots of their time. And they will have sufficient engineers, sufficient doctors, sufficient skilled labour in a way that other people won't. Because remember, as IQ goes down, the percentage of the population that are capable of being competent doctors, competent engineers, competent architects will be smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller as buildings fall down, as things collapse into ruin, as electricity systems don't work. And there will be some countries that will understand that, and they will accept these people in, and they will become the new Byzantiums. But that will not be Eastern Europe as a whole. It will perhaps be certain parts of Eastern Europe. So it's not true to say that Eastern Europe is the future. Now, I'm often accused of promulgating black pills on here. This is not a black pill. This is at most a sort of a grey pill. There is a future to civilization. It is small neo-Byzantiums, probably based in Eastern Europe, to which the more intelligent, the more forward-thinking will flee. They will, by the way, not be heavens on earth from our perspective now. They will be highly religious, because when you control for intelligence, the thing that predicts breeding is being very, very conservative and very, very religious. And these traits are up to 0.7 heritable, particularly with fundamentalist religiosity. So these will be very, very religious places, and in that sense restrictive intellectually, but they will nevertheless not be as restrictive intellectually as living in some low IQ hellhole, by which the dysgenic hellhole by which they will be surrounded, and onto which Darwinian conditions will eventually reimpose themselves. So I hope that makes sense. And if this is a bit of interest, then please do subscribe. It really helps if you do that. And, you know, remember, I live show Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. And I will see you soon. And goodbye!